Hey, what's good, everybody? You know what it is. Your mind is not playing tricks on you. It's Thursday. Once again, time for Touchdowns and Tangents, your Thursday spot for NFL news, topical takes, tangents, context for the culture, brilliance for the realness. And I'm joined, as always, by my friend, colleague, the
Kenneth Frank James Barry.
Yeah, man. So what's good? Shout out to Jersey Mike's for plugging us up with the free food, hence why we're late. We're starving.
There were no pickles, but hey, I mean, they were trying to get the fuck out of there. Crap, I wasn't supposed to cuss. Ah! Oh, well, next week. Anyway, yeah, man. They were definitely trying to get us up out of there, but, like, super polite about it. Shout out to the couple that came in, that came after us, the dude with the ashy legs. It was disgusting. He looked like a sober Ty Dolla Sign. He looked like Larry Fitzgerald if he never made it. But whatever, it's all good. So man, it's weird. There really wasn't much to talk about this week, so y'all can just expect a hell of a lot of jokes. Shout out to X Squad affiliates. Shout out to
FPC Radio.
Jinx, show me a soda.
The Good News Radio Station.
Yep.
And your favorite podcast app, since Spreaker finally got their shit together.
And put all our stuff back on Spotify and everywhere else. So you can tell
I got to check and make sure that the first four episodes are still on there.
Yeah.
Because if they're not, I'm going to send a real nice white lady email.
And you know, I'm really good with those slanderous emails. Like, whew, man. I call mine the ether mail. Shout out to Mancini. You know what I'm talking about. You were there. You read the email. All I'm going to say is the following two words. Testicular fortitude.
Wow. We're out here making inside jokes.
It was the most disrespectful, but like, it was the good. Like, honestly, that email I sent to a certain someone who used to be an editor-in-chief at a certain paper at a certain school. Like, that email was literally seen as, it was better than ether, as far as I'm concerned. But y'all never actually read it. So, it's all good. But, shout out to us for being here another week. Christmas is almost here. I actually will not be here next week. I'm going out of town to visit my grandma in Oakland. So, you know, town business. And shout out to me for being a good grandson. Most importantly, shout out to people in my family who hate on me because for whatever reason, I don't really care. Fight me. And the Chargers won. All right, let's talk about it. The Chargers beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Pete's still angry that, you know, they took Colton Miller in the first round when they probably could have got him in the second round. And we passed on I'm not a Raiders fan anymore. They passed on Derwin James and Tremont Edmonds, who's also the youngest player, I think, in the NFL to get an interception. Like, NFL history to get a pick. He's like 20. It's insane. He was a junior in college, but he's 20. Yeah. So, with all that being said and done, first topic out the gate, man, you want to talk about this game real quick, Pete?
Yeah, go for it. I'm listening. I'm trying to put the stream on.
Okay, cool. Well, I'll just start off by saying that I might get hosed the first round of my fantasy playoff game.
Oh, God.
Because Odell.
Nobody cares about your fantasy team, bro.
Plot twist. This is the first round of the playoffs. You can kiss my ass. Yeah, man. Like, my fantasy team was projected to finish second, and the way it's looking, I'm kind of nervous. Like, the dude I beat him before, and luckily Melvin Gordon isn't playing. By the way, shout out to Chris Jones for having 11 and a half sacks, the D end or D tackle for the Chiefs, who the Raiders passed on. And not only that, he's the first person in NFL history that was sacked in 10 straight games. So, yeah, I'm truly disgusted at the Oakland Raiders. But, nevertheless,
Is the
What are you gonna
say? Are the Chargers for real? Like, do you really consider them elite? I mean, we've kind of been talking about that all year.
I just want to say the following. Los Angeles Chargers fans, I'm sorry. Damn! I know, right? I apologize to Chargers fans. Like, that never happens.
Look, ever. Man, I just want to say, hey, a shout out to Stephen A. Smith for having a GFU on First Take that went viral on Twitter this week.
A disgusting gross factual error, like 5 straight gross factual errors.
He shouted out Hunter Henry as a key matchup.
Who tore his ACL.
Versus Derek Johnson, who has been on the Chiefs for all season.
Over a year.
Damn near retired.
Yep. Played for the Raiders last and got cut. And his hairline has receded a little bit. But he's apparently a really nice guy.
But yeah, besides all that, I think this was a huge win for the Chargers. I think they're elite for this fact and this fact only. Not only did they win, like, in spite of Phillip Rivers throwing some early picks and really kind of building them into a deficit, but they also won without Melvin Gordon. Joey Bosa was hurt half the season. And you have Phillip Rivers, who's what, a fringe Hall of Famer?
He's a Hall of Famer. I'm going to give him that.
And you got Derwin James, Rookie of the Year. You got Melvin Gordon, who was in the MVP discussion before he got hurt.
He's only like one of three players with 800 rushing yards and 400 receiving yards.
So pretty much you've got all the makings of an elite team, and now they're actually winning through adversity instead of shooting themselves in the foot, as we've come to know the Chargers. But there's still 2 weeks in the season, so who knows?
I got something to say about how crazy the Chiefs offense is. Damian Williams, who used to play for the Dolphins, ended up on the Chiefs. In fantasy, he dropped like 28 points, 74 receiving yards, 49 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. And now I'm 38 points in the hole. 38 and a half points.
But he was actually good in Miami. I don't even know why they let him go. I don't even know why he was reduced to such a low role in the Chiefs.
Kenyon Drake,
I think,
would be the answer.
I honestly thought he was better than Spencer Ware.
You weren't going to say he's better than Drake, though. Notice how we're just going to stay away from that Drake.
We could get to that a little
bit
later.
Shout out to Mike Williams. By the way, Mike Williams can't be seen as a bust. I think he caught the game when he touched down.
And
he's averaging 16 yards a catch.
I think he took a reverse for a touchdown as well.
Shout out to Mike Williams. I might have to pick him up in fantasy now.
But yeah, man, the Chargers won with the third string running back. They beat the Chiefs, who are
Justin Jackson out of Northwestern.
Are the Chiefs spiraling? Like, what's good? Are the Chiefs
still
elite?
Their defense is terrible, bro. Their defense has been terrible all year. Everyone knows it. And
I wish we would have watched the game only for the fact that your cousin, Eric Berry, is back.
The GOAT.
He beat cancer.
The God MC. He beat cancer and he beat a torn Achilles tendon at the age of 30. Or close to 30. Shout out to Eric Berry.
But yeah, man, I just
want
to see him
Chuck
play.
Shout out to Chuck
Berry
because he's my grandfather's first cousin. Yes, Chuck, the legendary Chuck Berry is my grandfather's first cousin. I'm not lying. I'm related to music royalty. That's why I have such a good ear for music. But anyway, man, the Chiefs, oh my God, the Spurs beat the Clippers 125-87. Oh, man, shout out to Courtside. And honestly, I don't know. By the way, just a quick side note. I don't know what y'all going to do if they do get Trevor Ariza. Ingram's going to be pissed and might want to trade. Y'all can't keep building this team up the way y'all doing and thinking, you know, the guy who's supposed to be a star isn't going to want to be
Fuck
here.
The Lakers. That's all I got to say. Wow. Shout out to Courtside Radio.
All right, now that we've whitewashed that moment. Back to your regularly scheduled programming. Yeah, Mahomes, that offense is going to do what it does. And if you give them the ball last, they'll score on you. But realistically, they're going to come across the defense. The Ravens, I feel like, gave them their best bet. The Chargers have a fast, athletic defense that's really versatile and can do a lot. Chinua Nwosu, rookie linebacker out of USC, has been really good this year. Yeah, but that's what happens when you build through the draft and you take the best player available.
I think even besides that.
Build your roster up with you.
Even besides that.
And create talent and competition.
Even beyond that, I think it's about just having a plan for development.
Oh, and Derwin James.
It's one thing to find talent. It's another thing to actually develop that talent into its best self. Like, you can have all the best players available you want, but if they don't fit collectively together, they're not going to last in the league, number one, and you're not going to win, number two.
Or you're going to pull a Seattle Seahawks, but we'll get to that later. Actually, I'm going to say you're going to pull Detroit Lions because they lost Eric Ebron, and now he's having an all-pro season for the Colts. And he's tied with Dallas Clark for the most touchdowns in the season by a tight end in Colts history with 12. Should have picked him up in fantasy. Damn.
And he was getting death threats and things like that in Detroit last year. I read an article about that. Everyone was adding him on Twitter saying he's a huge bust, all this. He didn't expect to get cut, but he had that fifth-year option where his contract kind of balloons up, and the Lions just decided they weren't going to pay it. Which, by the way, that whole tight end class was a complete bust.
I feel like Gesicki's going to be a bust.
You liked Gesicki,
but major. I do, but it's like, from the way Miami's playing, they're not really utilizing him. I feel like he might be a bust.
When was the last time was the last time Miami utilized the tight end?
Oh, damn. That's a good point.
Exactly.
What was it? Cameron? Jordan Cameron?
There you go.
He had concussions.
Yeah.
And then before that, you could say not Justin Peel or Anthony Fasano or Randy. Oh, man. He ended up playing for the Chargers. It was a tight end named Randy something, but... Yeah, they really don't. They haven't used tight end good in a while. It's mostly their running backs. Shout out to Kenyon Drake. But, yeah, when it comes down to the Chiefs and the Chargers have a better defense. Even though they lost Jason Verrett, like, they can still compete at a high level. But also, you got to give credit to the Chiefs just because Mitchell Schwartz has been the best right tackle. Statistically and arguably, for like the past 3-4 years, even when he was with Cleveland, like he's been outstanding. And Fisher, I guess, is doing good enough. But that Chiefs offense is going to be a problem. If they can do a shootout with like New England, I think they can win it. But if they end up playing a really good defensive team. Like, if the Ravens somehow get in the playoffs, it might be a problem for them. If they got shut down, I'm not sold on the Ravens. Not me neither. But like, if they got stopped, if the Chiefs could only score 21 or 24 points in a game, I could see a team like New England outsmarting them and beating them.
All right, man. So keeping in the AFC West. Big topic of the week, big topic on this podcast for really the duration of the podcast. Your boy, Reggie McKenzie, finally gets the axe. So, should I go first or you want to go first? Let me go first since I've been quiet so far. All right, so if you missed it this week, Reggie McKenzie got his walking papers on Monday. Yes, that's right. The Monday after the Raiders got their third win of the season against the playoff contending
Pittsburgh Steelers.
AFC North winning Pittsburgh Steelers. Bruh. In what is known as one of the most historic rivalries in all of football history. Yes, the Raiders closed out the Coliseum by sending Pittsburgh home with an ass-whooping. And you know why I'm happy?
It wasn't an ass whooping.
It
was a really close game.
I don't give a fuck. You lose to a 2-10 team, that's an ass whooping. It doesn't matter if you lose by a point. It doesn't matter if you lose on a coin toss after a tie. You took an ass whooping, period. And the reason why I hate the Steelers, for obvious reasons, go look it up. If you don't know, you're not really a football fan. Besides all that, the Steelers are just that team as a Raiders fan, like especially as a new era Raiders fan, that you just hate and you don't even know why you necessarily hate them unless you like really dig up your history and then you'll know why you hate them. But essentially, if you're a Raider fan, you sign on to both admire and hate the Steelers simultaneously. Got through that. Well, yes, the Raiders, of course, do the Raider thing and fire their GM after the third win of the season. Why, you may ask? Number of reasons.
Game of Thrones reasons.
Mainly the fact that only nine of McKenzie's 50 picks
actually turned out to be good.
Are actually on the team still. And if you break that down even more, probably maybe only like 20 of them are actually like good players. No,
Nicole Autry has 8 sacks.
And here's the thing. I feel like McKenzie doesn't get enough credit for the amount of late round guys he finds and a lot of the solid starters and pros and good backups he's found.
He's found a lot.
Because he misses on those middle rounds.
He misses through one through five. 1 through 5 is terrible for him.
One's okay. One's a crapshoot.
DJ Hayden.
DJ Hayden.
Over DeAndre. I have the notebook memorized.
DJ Hayden was definitely a bust. That whole class was a bust.
Nah, Xavier Rhodes. Most,
if you look at that class,
DeAndre
that was
Hopkins,
one of the worst
Alex
classes
Ogletree.
Ever. That was one of the worst draft classes ever. Outside of like the few people you're naming, the top ten was horrible.
The later rounds were good though. Starless
the top ten
was
horrible.
Yeah, but he was what, the 12th overall pick that year?
Deion Jordan went 3. They traded back, so they could have got Deion Jordan, nasty. And it would have been even worse. Let's keep that.
Hayden,
let's keep that in context.
Hayden at 12.
But the point
they passed
is,
on Le'Veon Bell in that draft.
The
too,
point
the
is,
second round.
Number one's been hit or miss. He got Khalil Mack, he got Amari Cooper, but he missed on DJ Hayden. Carl Joseph's a wash. And
could have got Kawan O'Neal.
Cole Miller. We don't know who to attribute that to, but either way, point is, first round's
could've
hit or miss.
Derwin James though.
Second round, he's terrible. He's
awful.
The worst.
God
second
awful.
Round. He sucks at the second round.
He passed on Deion Jones.
Third
he passed on Le'Veon Bell.
He should really not draft in the second round ever.
He passed on just pick a guy who's an all pro. He passed on Danielle Hunter in the later rounds.
Rounds 3 through 4, he's just as
3
bad.
3 through 5 is terrible because it's usually a linebacker.
But he makes up for it in the 6th and 7th round in undrafted. That's
not
like
always,
his bread
not
and butter.
Not always, though. But if you're a GM, if you're passing on dudes who are like David Johnson, you're passing on guys who've been all pros. It's pretty bad.
But yeah, even besides all of that,
his draft record is horrible.
The real reason why Reggie McKenzie got fired, and this is from Mark Davis via multiple reporters, is that essentially it goes back to the tradings of Khalil Mack and now – yes, Amari Cooper, which, by the way, to go
like
on a tangent, Amari Cooper gave me 44 FanDuel points this week. For those of you who said Amari Cooper's a bum, you're a fucking bum, and I'm your oxygen. That's all I got to say. Don't ever tell me Amari Cooper sucks. You suck. You suck at being a media consumer. Shut your ass up. Sit there. Eat your shitty stuffing on Thanksgiving and watch that man Amari Cooper go to work. That's all I got to say. Anyways, back to the Raiders. Yeah, Reggie McKenzie traded Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears because he thought they would be the worst teams compared to the 49ers, which, by the way, the 49ers have the number one pick. And by the way, I think the Jets were also in there, and the Jets have what, like the
third or fourth?
Yeah, something like
that. The Cardinals are in there too.
So pretty much he sent them to the Bears, made them into the playoffs, and now
gave
that pick.
Gave them a second-round pick.
And gave them a second-round pick. So now that number one pick
remember
is.
Remember when he said he's terrible at second-round picks? He said, let me just give it away.
Yeah, so essentially all he got was a number 20 pick and a pick next year for Khalil Mack.
And some Pringles.
So that was part one. And part two is Amari Cooper, who. He also only got a first-round pick, and now he's balling out and essentially saving the whole Cowboys' whole season. Yes, BS3 Sports, you're welcome, dog. Anyways, point is, you too, Woo, you're welcome. Like my dad said, you better call him and thank him for saving your season.
K Cowboys fans are never allowed to talk trash to Raiders fans.
We saved your season.
Get punched in the face. Get punched in
Jason
the face.
Jason Garrett better send Reggie McKenzie a fruit basket for
a muffin basket with fruit in it. With fruitcake in it.
Saving his job.
Deep fried fruitcake.
And some good eggnog, not grocery store eggnog.
Some top of the line stuff, like right out the factory.
Point is, Reggie McKenzie somewhat botched those trades. Well, no, he botched those trades. My whole thing on it, though, is this. Did Mark Davis just watch football outside of the Raiders for the first time this week and woke up and was like, hey, Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper are doing good this year? Like, yeah.
Did he think Khalil Mack was Lance Johnstone?
Like, bro.
Do you think Amari Cooper was Jerry Porter?
Bro, we've been saying that those trades were trash since they went down, and it took you all the way to week 13.
And apparently, like, he wanted a report saying that they were originally going to give – they're offering a 2020 first-round pick.
Yeah.
And that's what Cooper came out and said. That's when Reggie – that's when Dallas called. But, hey, I'm just glad Amari Cooper's being shown to be the elite receiver that he is. And I still stand by the fact that if he played in Pittsburgh's offense and he's got as many targets as Antonio Brown, if you gave Amari Cooper 143 catches, okay, we're going to pretend, we're going to lie. So are you telling me, okay, cool. Even though when Amari Cooper and Antonio Brown came out of college, one guy was a surefire pick and one dude, well, we know what Antonio Brown's draft analysis was, but we also know what Amari Cooper was.
I'm gonna tag
Amari Cooper was
I'm gonna tag Antonio Brown on Instagram.
He would have to be honest with you and say Amari Cooper was better than him coming out of college.
No, for sure he was
1,000%. And Amari Cooper contributed instantly coming out of college.
And the plot,
Antonio Brown almost didn't even make the roster. And pretty sure if Amari Cooper was allowed to return punts and kicks, he'd do that too. So, yeah, if you
I think he would, too, if he didn't muff it.
Nah, he...
Okay,
he'll kick return. He'll be better at kick returning.
But, yeah, man.
And punt returning.
The plot thickens with the whole Raiders shit because pretty much it came out that not only what... Yes, Reggie kicked and screamed at the Mac trade, but he ultimately pulled the trigger. And with the Amari trade...
They made him shoot his puppy in the face.
And with the Amari trade...
After he named it.
It actually wasn't John Gruden who made the green light. It was actually Mark Davis. Because guess what? Mark Davis...
is Palpatine.
Mark Davis hates Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper's agent. And therefore also hates, I think, Ed Oliver's agent. He just signed Ed Oliver, too. I think he signed Nick... Did he sign Nick Bosa? No, I don't think he did.
He signed Nick Bosa.
Yeah, so pretty much the Raiders might get shut out the first round just based off of this one agent. Yeah, they might have to trade back. We're about to see what happens when that clock strikes zero and the Raiders don't have a big number three.
They're going to pull a Baltimore Ravens and not pick. Or I think it was a team years ago in the first round where they didn't pick, and then Randy Moss ended up going to the Vikings. I forget what team it was in 98, but they forgot to – it might have been the Chiefs. They forgot to pick. Yeah, shout out to Michael. How are your Chiefs doing? They're a wild card team now. Life's looking up, huh? Life's not looking so good, is it? With no defense. Anthony Hitchens not looking so great, is he? I can't even name their other middle linebacker. Oh, Reggie Ragland. Yeah.
Ragdoll Ragland.
He couldn't cover me on a slant.
Yeah, but on the Raiders, man, so Reggie McKenzie's out. The Raiders are being kind of a whole.
By the way,
the Raiders are being shady about the whole GM situation. They haven't actually announced if they're going to hire a new GM. They're just saying front office role. So they're probably going to hire a VP or someone like that. Yeah, people have been saying Bruce Allen.
They're pretty much going to pick someone who's.
They said Bill Polian. Pretty much anyone that has. Old NFL boys club ties.
And who thinks Lamar Jackson is only good to be a receiver? Shout out to old white dudes who never played the position but swear a black man can't be a QB or be the smartest guy on the field.
Shout out to journalists who use freakish athlete, use freakish as an adjective to describe an athlete who's more than likely black.
Yeah, in the state of like
Utah. Which, by the
Utah
way,
in other places.
I wasn't going to go that specific. Even though, overall, just in general, on that same note, stop describing athletes as freakish. And I know we've done it too before. Yeah. But the thing is,
but Jadeveon Clowney is a freakish human being.
There's nothing freakish about these athletes who are putting in all this work in their nutrition, their mental health, their speed training, their weightlifting, literally putting hours, sacrificing time where they could be fucking around as kids, trying to get strong. There's nothing freakish about that. Yes, they're given God-given talents that most people wish they had, especially white journalists who've never played the game. But that doesn't make them freaks because they're developing that talent and using it. Yeah. So, fuck off. Man, I got some shit to say today.
It's nice. Me being the calm one. Like, it's nice. I enjoy it.
But yeah, man, back to the Raiders shit. Raiders are shitty as fuck. We already knew that. We haven't even got to the relocation element of it.
Yeah, they're
but before we get to that, I just want to say this in Reggie McKenzie's eulogy.
Should I just play Boyz II Men?
Nah. But yeah, pretty much.
I was going to do it, too.
This is what I will give Reggie McKenzie credit for. Salary cap hell. He got us out of salary cap hell. Got rid of your boy, Tom Kelly.
Lamar Woodley.
Well, that was on the negative side. We'll get to the negative side. We're starting with love and ending with hate. Yeah, he got us out of salary cap hell. He brought the Raiders into the modern era, updated a lot of their facilities, got them a new practice squad, stuff like that.
Got free agents to actually want to come here.
Bruce Irvin, Kalichio Semele, Rodney Hudson,
yep.
Marquee guys who wouldn't come in here before they were considering because of the Raiders.
He flipped the guy from the Chiefs to the Raiders.
Yeah. And as I alluded to before, he found some late round guys who are still playing in the league. Danico Autry.
8 sacks.
Stacy McGee.
Sharon Hester played for the Eagles.
Benson Moyoa is still in the league.
Seth Roberts.
DJ Hayden still in the league.
Does Bryce Butler count? Was Bryce Butler?
Yeah, Bryce Butler's still in the league.
Was he under that regime, though?
I think he was. I'm pretty sure he was. Yeah, San Diego State, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
By way of USC.
Yeah.
He was still trash at San Diego State.
Damn, that's why you always secretly liked Bryce Butler. Makes sense, no?
He was a 5-star receiver out of Georgia, went to USC. They never threw him the ball. They only... Like Matt Barkley, he only focused on like one or two receivers, thus birthed that Lane Kiffin bubble screen offense. Because Ronald Johnson was there for a minute. Shout out to Ronald Johnson, the receiver. If people remember him out of USC, went to the Niners and then flamed out. But hey, it is what it is.
And then is there anything else good that I'm missing about Reggie McKenzie?
He drafted Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper and
Derek Carr in the second
Jackson.
Round
yeah,
and Gabe Jackson in the third round.
He
gave us his twin brother gave us those hilarious memes of him falling asleep at the combine.
Tis true.
There were Reggie Fridays back in the day when he always made his signings on Fridays.
He didn't draft his son.
The DeSean Jackson hype back in the day.
He was in the running offer to DeSean Jackson the contract.
Hashtag DJX to Oakland.
And even though, sadly, I always knew he wasn't going to make it to Vegas, and I've said this numerous times on the record, that he wasn't going to make it to Vegas and he was their scapegoat. He's their sacrifice. He's Gamora.
And from everything I've seen on Twitter, pretty much anyone who runs into him says he's actually pretty nice.
He made the Raiders palatable. He made the Raiders respectable on a business sense again. Before him,
he was drafted by the Raiders. Don't forget that. Groomed in the Green Bay front office, but drafted by the Raiders.
Thank God for that. But he didn't. That's the thing. Before John Gruden came along, and before
he had a
Mark
plan.
Before Mark Davis decided to get more involved with the franchise. Good or bad, it was Reggie cleaning up everything, cleaning up the culture, all that. And can you name who was the GM before him? Can you name all the head coaches before him, like Dennis Allen and other people? Can you really think of the Raiders before.
As long as
Reggie
we don't, as long as we don't get that ugly ass broadcaster who used to be the Detroit Lions GM, I'm good.
That's fucked up. Matt Millen's sick and dying. He's like 70. He's sick and dying. You're going.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that. My bad.
He's in really bad shape.
My bad. And like, he's a Raider.
He was like, he was doing a Notre Dame game, and I was like, put this man down somewhere in a medical tent. He needs sleep. Like,
but he was a trash GM. He drafted Charles Rogers. Come on.
And Mike Williams and Roy Williams.
I mean, we all bought into the Mike Williams hype the Roy Williams hype.
I didn't.
Shut your ass up.
Once I saw him run that
40,
Shut
your ass up.
No.
You know your little fifth grade ass was excited.
Nope.
To see Mike Williams back in the
league.
I
was excited about Sean Cody, but I was like, nope, this is not going to work out. This is Maurice Clarett all over again.
It was the same year.
Smart enough to know it. I was like, it's not going to work out for me.
I was smart enough to know the future. I'm an oracle.
I really am. Like, and I let Keith have that name, but I predicted a lot of stuff and just, like, you know what? I'm not going to claim credit for that just yet. But yeah, knew that Mike Williams situation wasn't going to turn around, especially when he couldn't run a 4.5, especially when he ballooned up to 280.
Shout out to Calvin Benjamin.
I'm glad Madden didn't, like, show him at 280.
I just want to see.
Now he's a head coach for like Diamond Bar High School or something.
I just want to see Calvin Benjamin and Andy Rigo head up in an eating contest.
Imagine those two walking into a barbecue, like a local barbecue.
And your ribs
spot,
are just like
and shutting
shaking.
Down. The brisket is just like all the fats falling off. Like your meat. The mere utterance and sound of them walking in.
Breathing all hard.
I think Kevin Benjamin was wearing 81, so good for him.
But yeah, man. So we started with the good with Reggie McKenzie. So I'll pass it to you for the bad.
I do this not because I enjoy it.
No,
but
you
because
enjoy
it's
it.
Necessary.
Shut up. You enjoy it. You enjoy it. You just hate the fact that there is one less black executive in the NFL.
Honestly, remember what I said after Mark, that meme I posted after Marquette King got cut?
Yeah.
And that little conversation between him and Reggie that probably didn't happen, but probably did happen. Like, I'm sorry, man. I wanted to retire Reggie. It's okay. It's okay, King. But thank you for freeing me, Reggie. It's like, now you're free, Reggie. You don't have to put up with that bullshit anymore. Them undermining
the
all
fucked
your decisions.
Up part was, dude, pretty much passed on his dream on an interview for his dream job in Green Bay.
Bro, it's like if you stayed with the woman you're with, and the woman of your dreams was finally ready to settle down with you. It's like you finally had a bid to go with the chick, and you stay with your bum ass girlfriend.
And then your bum ass girlfriend breaks up with you like 6 months later.
Nah, like. Come
leaves you out,
out
to dry, throws all your shit on the lawn.
Nah, bro, she was.
And was cheating on you the whole time.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the point. Like, she was getting destroyed by the postman and the pool boy. And she openly, like, liked your nemesis. She openly gave.
So pretty much your girlfriend just wasn't shit.
Yeah. Your girlfriend might have. I can't even name names. It's only a hurt dog college. We're not talking about anybody in particular. Don't think Pete's talking about his girlfriend because I don't want him to get murdered. At least before we get big and, you know, actually make money off this shit. but yeah, the biggest thing is the draft misses. Because if Reggie had kept making great decisions.
And Matt Flynn and Matt Schaub. Don't let him get off with those. Remember when they were the future QB?
Why'd you have to say Matt?
And bringing back Greg Knapp. And Dennis Allen as a head coach.
And Greg Olson.
And Dennis Allen as a head coach.
Remember Jason Tarver was the defensive coordinator?
I actually like Jason Tarver.
Just because he was decent at Stanford. But, yeah, man. Like, he passed on so much talent. Like, he took Mario Edwards Jr., like, a guy who was a five-star recruit, number one player in the nation. And has done virtually a little bit next to nothing. I think he has like 3 sacks with the Giants. But like, he passed on Derrick Henry, which if you're going by the last game he played where he had like 67 fantasy points in my league, but that guy had him on the bench. He'd be the perfect power back in Oakland. Derrick Henry passed on him. Deion Jones, a linebacker out of LSU, which for some reason they hate LSU defensive players. I don't know why, but they'll take fat ass Vidal Alexander. Where's he at? Not in the league anymore. But you know, you got a guy like Deion Jones who was damn near an all pro. Oh, and he runs like a 4.3 40.
Telvin Smith.
Telvin Smith, oh yeah.
Chris Smith. Preston Smith.
Preston Smith. All the goddamn Smiths.
I mean Chris Jones, sorry. Still. Chris Smith too, though. I think there was a Chris Smith.
There wasn't a Chris Smith. They got Malcolm Smith, but Malcolm Smith for the cheap, that was about it. That was the best Smith that they got was Malcolm Smith.
They got the most trash Super Bowl MVP in history.
They had Antonio Smith for a little bit. They had Antonio Smith, defensive end. He was a pretty decent tweener.
Oh, yeah, the samurai.
They also had... old boy out of Arizona, the defensive tackle out of, who went to Tennessee, number 90. Damn it. Why am I forgetting his name?
Hankins? Rucker?
No. Dan something. He played for Tennessee. He played for the Arizona Cardinals. He was a first round pick, like 15th pick.
I think. Oh, Dan Williams.
There we go.
Diabetes.
Oh.
He really advocates against diabetes. He has diabetes.
Diabetes on the diaspora? That's foul. With a side of pickles? Is that our title?
How did I forget about Dan Williams already? It was only like 2 years ago.
I'm saying.
He fell off a cliff. That's why.
Into a pile. Never mind. I was going to say into a pile. Never mind. I can't even finish.
Shout out to Pot Rose Knightington, wherever he is.
Yeah. And Justin Tuck convincing Charles Woodson to come back.
Yeah, that was a big one. But like, we're on the hate. We move past the love.
It's just, oh, man. Let me put it to you like this. I counted it up. Reggie missed about 15 Pro Bowlers and about 5 All-Pro players. The fact that you don't get a DeAndre Hopkins or an Xavier Rhodes, proven commodities, or an Alec Ogletree, who could at least play outside linebacker. And by the way, he has like 6 interceptions this year. He's balling out. He had a 1 interception.
And we're not even talking about all the trades he didn't make.
Let's talk about all the trades he did make.
I already brought up Matt Schaub and Matt Flynn, and I don't want to do it
again.
That
was a signing.
That's already twice.
That was a signing. I mean, this didn't sign Josh Freeman. But I just...
You mean when he traded Carson Palmer for a 5th-round pick?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I forgot that he was the one who actually traded Carson Palmer to the Cardinals and gave up their 1st-round pick that year, who I think was a pretty good player. I can't remember who it was.
Oh, and we were naming off players earlier. I forgot to name off Tony Bergstrom and Stefan Wisniewski. They're still in the league.
Yeah, but Bergstrom... He was a bad fit. He was supposed to be a depth pick, but now he's actually starting somewhere. So good for him. But when I really think about it, it's like, man, he passed on a lot of talent. I think he passed on Everson Griffin at one point, and he passed on Danielle Hunter. Passed on Sharif Floyd.
Yeah, but he got hurt.
Yeah, but that beforehand. He passed, like I said, he passed on Le'Veon Bell. He, for some god-awful reason, kept drafting shitty linebackers. He drafted Ben Heaney will always just make me mad. He was the best player on the worst team in the country. He was a first-team all-Big 12 selection at linebacker, ran a 4.5 but had no agility and couldn't cover.
I think, ultimately, his biggest mistake
was the safety positions.
Well, besides
Nate,
that.
Nate Allen. Oh, God.
Nate Allen wasn't that bad.
Nate Allen was terrible. No, that's why he got cut and they brought him back. His contract was...
He got hurt. He only played six... He only played one game his first year. Caught a pick, got hurt, missed most of the year.
His contract was terrible, bro.
His contract was terrible. He made $6 million. But guess what?
Reggie Nelson?
Guess what?
Reggie Nelson?
The safety number 31's making $6
million. Gilchrist?
Yeah.
But he's younger and actually can still play.
And they gave that other corner from Tennessee... from Houston a bunch of money and then cut him halfway through the season.
A Houston corner?
Your boy from USC.
Sharice Wright?
Yep.
Nah, but that don't count because he got cut in the preseason.
Yeah, but they gave him a shit ton of money for no reason. They gave him like $3 million for no reason.
I think it might have been... Like, he had to, I think, have made the final roster to get that money.
And don't forget about Ron Bartel and Shaute Spencer when they were our starting corners.
Wow, why did you say that to me? I was trying to forget. I wasn't trying to slander Howard, but wow.
Austin Howard?
No, Ron Bartel went to
Shit. I forgot about that. Don't forget about the time when we let Jared Valdir walk and Lamar Houston walk to sign Roger Saffold, who failed a physical, and we didn't end up signing him and ended up with Austin Howard.
And was stuck with him for a long time.
And don't forget about Marshall Newhouse and the Marshall Newhouse before Marshall Newhouse. What was the dude's name? He played with Seattle the next year. Journeyman. Jamarcus Webb?
Jamarcus Webb played for the Bears. And Mike Tyson's an offensive line coach.
But then he went to...
he went somewhere else.
He went to Seattle after. Yeah, he went to Seattle after us to play with Tom Cable. But yeah, man, Reggie McKenzie had a lot of misses. He had some good stuff.
And I'm forgetting a lot of the people. I'm forgetting a lot of their names out of respect.
Man.
And there's about 50 people that Reggie McKenzie passed on that would have made this a Super Bowl caliber roster.
I think the biggest error he made, I feel like, was being complacent.
And his stupid-ass rule on, we can create a linebacker. We don't have to go get the best available one.
I think ultimately, something happened to where he didn't...
John Gruden used his own failures against him to usurp power from him.
Exactly. And I feel like Reggie McKenzie should have seen that coming. And because I don't know what to believe. On one hand, you know, there was a whole PR of him saying basically this was always part of the plan, getting John Gruden and selling it, saying that they're on the same page and they work together. But then here we are 13 weeks later.
It's like the Montreal screw job.
So I don't really know what happened. All I can say is Reggie McKenzie should have seen this coming, just knowing who John Gruden is and knowing that Mark Davis is slowly becoming.
He's Palpatine, and let's be honest, Gruden is Anakin Skywalker killing all the younglings.
So, yeah, man, Reggie McKenzie should have seen it coming. I think he just assumed because he changed so much with the organization that he'd be safe. But as he...
Your black ass is never safe, but that's just
even besides that. Even besides that.
That's not even the point. I just felt like saying
that. I think he should have known just by kind of what happened with Del Rio. It's like...
It's not, Del Rio was your guy.
It's not enough to just be good enough. Like, especially with that power-hungry team that's trying to go through a transitional phase. Like,
They're prepping for Vegas. They're tanking for Vegas.
They needed to make a move. And they needed a scapegoat, really. And then they needed to make a move.
And Derek Carr is a science. He's being operated on. He's Frankenstein. They're turning him into Frankenstein.
Last point on the Raiders, man. We don't even know where the fuck they're going to play next year. They don't know where the fuck they're going to play.
They have options. And should I reveal?
Bro, someone said the Glendale Raiders. Somebody said the Fresno Raiders. Somebody said the IE Raiders. I've heard the San Diego Raiders. I've heard the LA Raiders.
You heard the Sabrani Park Raiders?
Reno Raiders. I've heard
the Richmond Raiders.
Yeah. Anyways, point is,
I can keep going.
Raiders are getting sued by the city of Oakland, essentially saying that
they dealt in bad faith.
Yeah, exactly.
Horrible bad faith.
Even though the city of Oakland kept choosing the A's over the Raiders for like 10 years.
And they swore like, oh, well, the A's were never actually going to concede that space to the Raiders. They were just kind of holding it hostage.
And I think the mayor doesn't want her legacy to be defined by losing both the Raiders and the Warriors.
Oh, let's just... Her legacy is already cemented, like all the police brutality that goes on out there. And all the...
I mean, that's not new there, though.
Innocent black people that get killed out
there. That's not new there.
Fuck BART, by the way. And that's Oakland not new PD. There. I said it. I shouldn't say that right when I'm going out to Oakland next week, but fuck BART PD.
Idiot.
I don't care. I know they know how I feel. But yeah, it's like so much politics and so much just turned into a
fuckery,
honestly, it turned into a dick measuring contest. And then it turned into a pissing contest to see, okay, we have these two plans, one that's pro Oakland and one that's like better for the Raiders globally.
So,
and let's just try to garner sympathy.
But essentially, Oakland's suing them, saying, and they're willing to just let the Raiders go. Like, they just want the Raiders to leave already. The Raiders, personally, Mark Davis wants to stay there. That's his home. He wants to play one more season there and try to give the team a respectable year. I've heard quotes anywhere, they're willing to pay anywhere from $2 to $7 million in rent. But Mark Davis is also kind of mad that they're suing him. So, as you've said, it's pretty much a pissing contest. And pretty much, as always, the biggest losers are the fans. Because not only are they losing a cultural icon and a community driving force, but now we're also getting the mudslinging attached to all that. And honestly, as I've said before in the group chat, I see both sides of it. You know, I know California is not going to cut a check for a stadium. I know how valuable that land is to Oakland and the Silicon Valley money. But at the same time, I also know what that team means as a cultural and community icon to the people that actually live there and have lived there for a long time, both black and white. The Raiders were a united and driving force for a really long time. So seeing that leave is always going to hurt, and I would rather them stay there another year. But at the same time, I also don't blame them for leaving, because if you're going to leave, you might as well just rip the Band-Aid off.
It's like if you and your ex broke up, and your ex is going to stay there and fuck random people for the next year and be cool with it. Y'all going to, shit, they going to help.
You just get tired of it after 2 years.
Like, I'm tired of seeing your face. Like, leave. Like, no, I'm not going to. What's the point
it's
of
like,
you being?
No, I don't have to leave. I pay the mortgage. Well, I don't want you to pay the mortgage. Leave.
You can just leave altogether, and I'll deal with this shit on my own.
Yeah.
Fucking scumbag, I hate you. I hope you die on the way outside. I hope you get shot and somebody carjacks you.
So, yeah, but if I'm the Raiders, I'll go and play in Reno, just because that's kind of like the middle between Vegas and Oakland.
I had an option.
It helps you build in Nevada without totally turning away from the Bay immediately.
You kind of are, though.
So it's kind of, I mean, yeah, leaving the Bay is always going to turn your back on the Bay, period.
Yeah, and some of us will forgive you, sadly. But I had an option that I posed in our group chat. I said, on the way out is a sign of good faith. The Raiders should just pick all the Oakland and Bay Area high schools, like the best ones and all that. Like, in high schools that former Raiders went to, like Bishop O'Dowd, Kurt Morrison went there, Oakland Tech, Marshawn Lynch went there, De La Salle, Maurice Jones-Drew went there. And like,
I don't acknowledge MJD as a Raider, but go ahead.
Wow, okay. All right, then. Damn, I didn't know that. But nah, I would just say,
shout out to whoever made that Spider-Man meme of Amari Cooper and Randy Moss staring at each other. Y'all petty as fuck.
Yeah, but Randy Moss was Cooper was a Raider. He has to, like,
own. Yeah.
He was drafted in a Pro Bowl alternate. Like, you kind of have to own it. And now no one in that picture is on the team except Derek Carr. But, yeah, I my thing would be the Raiders should just pick 10 high schools, all the state champions, because the state championships are this weekend, the 15th at Cerritos College. Shout out to Lando High for making it to the state Division 2A state championship game. And they're going to play San Joaquin Memorial High School, who's like 14-0. But the last team they played before San Joaquin, South Hills, was 14-0. So, you know, hey, good luck, Coach Clark, Lando Cardinals, all that good stuff. Shout out to them. This will be my last plug. Pete's like looking at me like, okay, bro, you get it. You went to Londo. Even though he don't ever mention his high school. But anyway, all seriousness, if Oakland really wanted to be on the up and up, they would play their games at those high schools those schools that are winning state championships this year, like Laney, and then the other six games, they could pick, like, junior colleges, San Francisco State, maybe even Cal Berkeley. I don't know. Like, San Jose State, you could play a game there, work something out with the school. If you really cared about the Bay Area and you wanted to go out on good terms, that's what you would do. Imagine having an NFL game at Bishop O'Dowd High School. Yeah.
Probably better than StubHub or whatever they're going to call it because they just changed the name again. But yeah,
or Oakland Tech where, you know, Marshawn Lynch went and played. You know, or you do it at Cal. You really make yourself like this, we will always be Oakland. And those memories are enough to be like, you know what? We know y'all leaving, but at least y'all did this. And this is like a $1 million idea, but they probably won't do it because, you know. Like, all your money's in Vegas. Let's be honest. Like, don't worry. If you do this, you have enough money to be like, all right, we'll have extra seats and all that stuff. We'll play these NFL games. And let's say you're terrible. They'll at least broadcast the first game. At least pick the highest-ranking Northern California team and play at their high school. Just don't play in Sacramento because fuck Sacramento. Yeah, I said it, Brandon and Jordan. But, yeah, like, pick Oakland high schools, the Oakland district champion. McClymonds, you got to play McClymonds High School, obviously. Shout-out to my mom who went to McClymonds and set a bunch of state records, and McClymonds High School is actually in the state title game this weekend. So there's that. See, I'm just saying, like, there's a bunch of Oakland high schools that are great, that are state championships in their divisions, and you could just play at all those high schools, you know, like I said, play at the other high schools, like a Oakland Tech. Like, that would really empower the community.
But yeah,
you
man.
Won't, but you won't.
And yeah, it's a great idea.
You can even make a one-time deal, like, okay, our last game of the year will be at the Oakland Coliseum.
Be better than taking their bum asses to Mexico London.
Because we know how that worked. But, nah, that's the thing. Like, sometimes you should just do what's for the best of the community that has served you. For
Come on, bro.
Years.
You're talking about
a billion-dollar organization. I know, but... It's
and the Raiders are in no financial shape to be giving things away when they pretty much are upside down in equity because they have to pay the NFL like $1 billion just to move, which they could have just put that $1 billion in the stadium fund. But I digress.
It's not like they're actually going to win 15 games next year. And imagine if you come to Reno and they say, yeah, you know how you played at like the state championships? The state championship schools in Oakland, we want you to do the same thing for us in Vegas. Even if you only do one high school a year, we're going to Bishop Gorman High School, which is already a hotbed and they're on TV, and some of the best recruits come out of Bishop Gorman High School. Boom. Raiders play at Bishop Gorman High School. And then they pick another one. And they just do it once a year.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
That's free pub.
It's not going to happen.
That's free pub, bro. Like, you can't get any more. You couldn't get any easier. You couldn't get the community more.
You'd
behind
be lucky.
You
you'd
if
be
you
lucky.
Gave away free tickets.
You'd be lucky if you got a training camp at a high school like that. Anyways,
go to Nevada.
Anyways, other thing I want to talk about before we get to college football, Minnesota Vikings. I've cooled down again. Kirk Cousins is struggling. Overall, the offense is struggling. Coach. Delafilippo, I think Delafilippo.
Joe Delafilippo. I don't know. He's
former.
Fired. He's fired.
Former Raiders, former Bengals offensive coordinator, got fired. His first year as the Vikings offensive coordinator. I'm sorry, he was a QB coach in Oakland, and I think he was the offensive coordinator 1 year in Cleveland. But yeah, ultimately he gets fired. And I don't know if it was necessarily his fault. I mean, obviously he didn't help, but I don't know if it was necessarily his fault because
Mike Zimmer scapegoat because their offense is terrible. And
their offensive line is
give $85 million to Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, and which we all knew was a red flag. Number one,
who's
Number two, we knew their receivers were overrated. Number three, their offensive line has been par
trash.
Yeah,
trash.
And Dalvin Cook's recovering. Latavius Murray's as inconsistent as he's always been. So,
Rudolph is
here. We are
barely has any speed left from all.
He hasn't had any speed
since before the injury.
Since like since his second year.
Those injuries took him, man. Those injuries took his speed. It's unfortunate.
I think Chad Greenway could beat him in the race right now.
That's fucked up, bro.
Right now.
Well, you gotta make
and Greenway's been retired like 2 years. 3 years.
Greenway.
Shout out to Iowa.
Wow.
But yeah, man, any other thoughts on the Vikings making a change at offensive coordinator and overall just their Super Bowl window?
I would not be surprised if Zimmer got fired. I feel like their Super Bowl window's closed.
Why do you say that? Just because? Because
they're stuck with Kirk Cousins. They got to pay him all this money. Their offensive line can't get better fast enough. He force feeds Thielen the ball when Stephon Diggs is clearly.
Todd Barr's a free agent.
Yeah.
Everson Griffin's going to be a free agent.
Can we be honest? Can we just be honest? I think we all know this.
Todd Barr should be a 3-4 stand-up end.
Aside from that, they're wasting his ability to sack the quarterback. They really are. If he ends up in Green Bay, I wouldn't be shocked.
He only has like 12 sacks in his whole career. I was like, really?
Yeah, because he's a 4-3 outside linebacker. They yeah, I know. Rush. Even though he was a tight end, running back, and receiver at UCLA until they made him a linebacker. But when it comes to...
Some people had him rated above Khalil Mack in 2014.
That's hilarious.
I'm pretty sure you were one of those people.
He was high. I had him up there with like a Vic Beasley.
Yeah.
I compared him to Vic Beasley, but I didn't. I was like, not Khalil Mack.
Vic Beasley was a year after.
But still. Because that's the closest person you compare him to. Because Vic Beasley ran like a 4.51 or some crazy.
But Beasley wasn't 6'5".
Beasley's like 6. He's 6'5". He's close to it.
Are you sure about this?
Beasley's tall and fast. And he hasn't been really that good since he got injured. I think he'll regain his but the Falcons defense is just hurt all over.
He's 6'3".
Yeah.
That ain't 6'5".
Okay, well, fine. He's still fast as hell and has really long arms. But when I look at that team, and I say, okay, you have one of the number one defenses, and Zimmer may have tightened some things up. Their pass coverage, their DBs are probably better, but you still have a revolving door at strong safety, which you should have been able to fix by now. And Harrison Smith can only do so much for so long. Because
he's white and white players break down.
Athletically, he'll break down, but he's still a good safety. Like his prime is being wasted worse than Eric Weddle's. Got wasted in San Diego.
I agree.
San Diego wasted Eric Weddle. Imagine if they just got a safety to pair with him. Oh, my God.
They tried with Bob Sanders. But he was already hurt.
That doesn't count. They play the same position. That doesn't count. But no. With Baltimore, I think Weddle's having a resurgence. Because him and Tony Jefferson are kind of interchangeable. But when I think about this Vikings team, they force feed the ball to Thielen, even though Diggs is the better player.
That's true. Nobody wants to talk about that.
Diggs is a much better player. That's why he was drafted and Thielen wasn't. But Kirk Cousins always loves to throw to certain receivers that make him comfortable and not actually better receiver. He did it in Washington. Didn't really throw Pierre Garçon the ball. He would throw Ryan Grant the ball a lot. He threw he force fed the ball to Jamison Crowder, a slot guy. The tight ends, but it's not like I said, it's not even a race thing, even though Adam Thielen is good. And people need to stop acting like, oh, just because he's white, he's not good. He's good, but he's not better than Stephon Diggs. And I think if you really ask your teammates, who made the play to send them to almost send them to the Super Bowl, it was Stephon Diggs.
Next up, man, we got it's official.
That offense.
It's officially official. Lamar Jackson is the starting quarterback in Baltimore. Joe Flacco is returning this week, but he will not be returning as a starter. He will be suited up as a backup for Lamar Jackson this week. Also, man, shout out to RG3 for making an appearance in last week's game.
And apparently getting his hair fixed. Because, bro, your hair is... Oh, man. It's the epitome to get out. I was like, you got a kit? Are you trying to get a curl? Are you trying to get a temptations cut? What are you doing with your hair, bro? Damn, he ain't been right since Baylor.
But, yeah, man, thoughts on Lamar Jackson getting the nod?
I just want to say to all these so-called journalists, pundits, and NFL people who swear Lamar Jackson was going to be nothing more than a receiver, go kill yourself.
To add to that...
I'm not booing me, I'm booing you.
To add to that, honestly...
Because Josh Allen is looking like
honestly,
a shredded ass out here.
Honestly...
And get himself killed.
I mean, Josh Allen is really the running quarterback right now, the rookie runner right now. Because,
oh, I said when he came out of Wyoming, he has a big arm, and that's about it. And he's athletic.
But besides all that.
And all he does is throw deep, and he misses on that. He's only completing like 52% of his passes, and he has 490 yards rushing. And everybody, like, the same way they treat Chicago's quarterback. What's his name? He played for North Carolina.
Trubisky?
Yeah, Mitch Trubisky. They act like he's just, oh, he has more rushing yards than Cam Newton. Bruh, that's because they know Cam Newton. Like, Bomani Jones is like, if his name was Hakeem Allen, defense would be like, yo, make sure Hakeem. They said, even if he was 295 pounds, make sure Hakeem don't get out the pocket. But because he's Josh Allen, it's just like, oh, he's fantastic with his ability to improv.
I mean, that's kind of like that's kind of like Cameron Wentz too, and Drew Brees too.
I mean,
he's not the only one. Even
forget,
Roethlisberger and Philip Rivers have benefited from that too.
People forget how athletic Drew Brees really is, though. Like, you forget. You think he can't run and pick up yards?
Which, honestly, I wrote about this to go on a tangent.
Purdue days,
I wrote about this in a column, but honestly, the Raiders should have been grooming Derek Carr to be more like Drew Brees or Russell Wilson. No, that's where they fucked up, is they tried to make him into Aaron Rodgers when he doesn't have the arm talent of Aaron Rodgers.
He has the arm talent. He's under the brains.
Nah, he does not have the arm talent of Aaron Rodgers. He does not have the same type of accuracy. But, okay, back to Lamar Jackson. This is the only thing I want to say on it. On some G shit, if the Baltimore Ravens are really committed to Lamar Jackson, they won't suit up Joe Flacco for the rest of the season. They'll either put him on IR or just give him a clipboard, that kind of like what the Redskins did to RG3 when they moved on from him. Like, I want to say the 49ers did that to Alex Smith, too, even when he was healthy, when they kind of moved on to Kaepernick. But we've kind of seen that in the past where it's like the changing of the guard. I think out of respect to Flacco bringing you guys the Super Bowl, just saying, hey, you're not the guy anymore, it's fine, whatever, it is what it is. He's a professional. He should be able to handle that. I'm sure, bro, as we've talked about on this podcast many times, backup QB is – a sham, and I'm sure there's a Miami Dolphins or even an Oakland Raiders who will give Joe Flacco a tryout. So I'm not really worried about Joe Flacco getting on somewhere next year.
He'll probably get on to Minnesota.
I'm just saying for this year, for Lamar Jackson's development, I think it's best to not have even an option of going to Joe Flacco, because number one, if Lamar Jackson struggles, I don't want to hear fans cheering on Flacco. I don't want to see Jackson get the pull. And honestly, they're so opposite that you essentially have to change your offense between the two. And so really, you might actually be better off having RG3 as your actual backup, because there's less
averaging like 200
there's less
yards
transition
rushing.
Between those yeah. two.
They're averaging like 200 rushing yards a game since. And most of Lamar Jackson's runs are design runs. So if he was really improvising.
And they actually lost on the last play to the Chiefs this past
yeah.
week.
He actually like was passing from the pocket, and people don't give him credit, and I think it's bogus. Because he has the arm, he has the athleticism, and he'll get better if you actually, you know, are willing to work with him. Because if his name wasn't Lamar and it was Larry, or I don't know, Tyler, or if he was just straight up white, because if he was just a straight up white dude with that athleticism, they'd give him the Johnny Manziel excuse. They give him every chance to succeed, even though we know he's trash, because Johnny Manziel was trash. Everybody's like, oh, he's so athletic. He ran a 4.68. Derek Carr ran like a similar 40. And no one was saying, oh my God, Derek Carr is stupid athletic. It's like, no, 4.68 really isn't that fast. If we're going to be honest, when you're out running defensive ends who run 4.5s, sorry, and linebackers who might run 4.4s, and corners who run 4.3s. But when it comes down to it, yeah, Lamar Jackson is looking like he's going to be a thing of the future in Baltimore. Wow. Guys like Josh Allen are going to need an offensive line put in front of him, a coaching staff put in front of him so he can actually get better as a QB.
And maybe some receiver talent. I don't think that hurts.
Yeah, Robert Foster out of Alabama never played, but ran a 4.41, had like a 100-yard receiving game last week, and looks to be a foundational piece. But Josh Allen's running for his life, and eventually he's going to get hurt. Can't keep hurdling people at 6'6 with a rocket for an arm running a 4.7 or whatever his 40 was. Like, that's good that you're athletic, bro, but you can't read a defense and you're inaccurate, even for a kid who can throw like 90 yards.
All right, two things I want to bring up before I throw you the law for college football. So the Seattle Seahawks essentially put their foot on the throat on the Vikings, as we talked about earlier on Monday night. And Frank Clark pretty much called out Richard Sherman, saying his era is over. You got any thoughts on that, KB?
It's true. Their defense is playing really good, and I think it's top 10 close to it. Frank Clark is a great foundational piece. You got Raheem Green.
Even though he's a free agent?
Yeah, you got Raheem Green on the other side. You got Shaquem Griffin, great corner, great young corner, and a good, fast, young linebacker who, well, I think...
We'll and all of this, you're forgetting the main...
Bobby Wagner.
Yeah, exactly.
Heart and soul. By the way, the Raiders passed on Bobby Wagner, too. Passed on him. Just stone cold passed on him. And he ran like a low 4.5.
The thing is,
has a Hall of Fame resume.
The thing is, the Seattle Seahawks, man, they took a huge risk these past two seasons in really moving over that old guard to the new guard. And honestly, they kind of did the same thing when Pete Carroll came in, and they kind of moved on from the Jim Moore era and moved on from Lofotutupu and those type of guys. So Pete Carroll, honestly, you know, I'm one of the few people that always stands for Pete Carroll because obviously we got the same initials. But besides that...
And because you're PC?
That's what I said, yeah. Oh, you're saying because I'm politically correct? Scumbag.
Bruh. I was going to say something that was much more disrespectful, but I'll leave it alone. Yeah, you're PC.
Point is, Pete Carroll deserves all the credit for really spearheading this rebuild and being probably one of the greatest coaches ever. As I've said multiple times.
That's a goddamn lie.
That's not a goddamn lie.
He's the winningest coach in Seattle Seahawks history, but he's not one of the greatest coaches ever.
Oh, because winning a Super Bowl in college, I mean winning a national championship in college and winning a Super Bowl.
And how many more championships
is so hard.
Lose by losing on 4th-and-1? Or that's anything
true.
In one?
That's true. He should have two more. He should have two more.
He probably would have never
left at least two more.
He would have never left USC had
he
they
should
beat
have
Texas.
At least two more.
Bro, had they beat Texas, he would have never left USC.
Nah,
had they beat
he was
Texas,
leave.
Had they left
they
Texas.
They still caught a charge. He was going to leave as
but
soon as those
easier,
charges came either
it's
way.
It's easier when you beat Texas and win 3 straight national titles. It's easier. Say it's not.
We always knew he wanted to go
he
back to
pulled,
the NFL.
He would have pulled.
We always knew he wanted
okay,
to go
fine.
Back to the
but
NFL
a,
every
he,
year. It would have happened at some
point. He would have pulled a Nick Saban, but he would have actually, you know, been successful in the NFL. And imagine if Marshawn Lynch gets the ball and walks in the end zone and they win a Super Bowl. Changes everything. Changes everything.
I don't disagree with you.
Those things.
I don't disagree with you. Regardless of that, haunt his regardless legacy. Of that, that man still has what, two national championships and a Super Bowl.
Technically one.
One and a half. 1.5.
It was vacated.
I thought you were talking about the LSU
one. They never.
So technically, he only has
beat
one.
They never beat Oklahoma. Technically, he has a Orange Bowl victory. And a couple of Rose Bowl victories.
So technically, he doesn't have a national championship.
Technically, no. Sorry.
You're a scumbag for bringing that up.
Blame the NCAA. It ain't my fault.
Last note on that same pettiness. Cam Jordan sent Cam Newton a broom because the Saints
swept
the Panthers this year. Or they're about to get swept.
They're about to play the Panthers, and Cam thought it was disrespectful. He should have been like, I think your offensive line is disrespectful. I think your receiver's catch radius is disrespectful.
And so now, I give it to you. College football, you're up.
All right, everybody. Okay. Now, I want everybody to remember something. Kyler Murray won the Heisman. But also remember that he's 5'9" and stupid fast and athletic and has a rocket for an arm. But there are nickelbacks who would kill him in the NFL if they lined up a shot on him. Not including safeties, linebackers, defensive ends, nose tackles. And maybe a kicker or two, you know, or a punter. I just really need people to understand that, you know, the Oklahoma sent out an advisory for him, just, you know, pretty much to see, like, what would his draft grade be. And it doesn't really matter, because I guess he kind of wants to do both. Don't do both. go to Major League Baseball, get your millions. You're the 9th overall pick for the Athletics. Worst case scenario, they're gonna trade your ass because the Athletics are cheap and they're not gonna pay their best players. Boom, you end up on the Yankees. Next thing you know, boom, fucking fat contract and a World Series victory. Or you're in Boston or the Dodgers. I'm just saying, there's so much more money and options to be had playing baseball than risking your livelihood at 5'9", 190 pounds, maybe 200 pounds, and getting crushed in the NFL. Like, it's just dumb. Sorry, he's not Michael Vick. At least Michael Vick was 6 feet and could take a beating, kind of. This cat is 5'9", maybe even 5'8". Not a good idea for him to go to the NFL. Just not. You won your Heisman. You're a freak athlete that the world has yet to ever see. And yeah, realistically, they'll probably try to make him a receiver because he can't play running back. Shout out to Tahir Cohen making Dante Fowler's bitch. Shout out to 5'6" running backs who are super buff and stocky and will lay out one of your pass rushers.
MJD
versus Sean Merriman. But yeah, anyway. So a bunch of players are missing bowl games.
And which has become the new trend.
That's the new trend. That's the new wave. We called this on this broadcast about a couple of years ago. And low-key, we called it all the way back at the Sundial. I was like, yo, with Todd Gurley sitting out, being this big, choosing not to come back, eventually athletes are going to be like, why am I playing in this bowl game? I'm not making any money. I get no money from this. I'm just going to get hurt, and then it's done. So, Will Greer, former Florida QB, has a daughter. Just want to point that out. He has a daughter. record-setting West Virginia quarterback, two outstanding years in Morgantown, decided to skip his bowl game against Syracuse. By the way, shout out to Dino Babers. That man's wave game and his hairline are impeccable. Shout out to black head coaches with impeccable hairlines and waves. And a man his age. Shout out to him. Shout out to him for breathing life back into the Syracuse football program, because they were a doormat for years. And he actually got a pretty, they're saying they gave him a pretty good contract extension. So good for him. But yeah, Will Grier was one. He decided to skip out on his bowl game. And I totally agree. He's one of the top QBs in the draft class. Why risk it getting hurt? You have nothing to gain from playing in this game. David Sills, he kind of has to play in this game. Just cuz. But Will Grier has nothing to gain from it. Like, yeah, they'll probably be like, well, you tested positive for steroids at Florida and got kicked out. But then he already explained himself. So, there's that. I'm actually happy that athletes are taking more initiative and saying, nah, we're not going to show up. I'm going to give you a list of a couple more guys who decided they are not playing in their bowl game. We have West Virginia offensive tackle Yadni Kajust. Yeah, if my left tackle is not playing in the bowl game, neither am I. You have Michigan lineman Rashawn Gary. He's not playing in his bowl game. In Florida, North Carolina wide receiver Kelvin Harmon. He's not playing. Arizona State wide receiver N'Keal Harry. He's not playing. Oklahoma State running back Justice Hill, he's not playing. Houston defensive lineman Ed Oliver, he's not playing. North Carolina State linebacker Jermaine Pratt, he's not playing. South Carolina wide receiver Deebo Samuel, he's not playing. LSU cornerback Greedy Williams.
Wait, did you say wide receiver or wide receiver? I'm sorry.
Wide receiver. You think a wide receiver named Deebo Samuel?
I don't know. That's why I was like, wait, what? Did I hear that right?
Name a white dude named Deebo. I'll wait. When South Carolina wide receiver Deebo Samuel, LSU cornerback Greedy Williams, redshirt sophomore. Yeah. Oh, and also Iowa tight end Noah Fant.
Is there a better receiver name than Greedy Williams?
That's a cornerback.
Oh, I thought you said receiver.
No, he's a corner. Also, Michigan starting offensive tackle Donnell Green. We went on Instagram to say he signed with an agent and he's not going to play in the Gophers bowl game. Also know Caleb Wilson, tight end for UCLA, chose to forego. They're not playing a bowl game because they're trash, but he chose to forego his senior season.
Talking to the mic, bro.
I'm talking into the mic. What are you talking about?
You see how those bars are barely moving when you talk?
No, they're moving.
No, right here. See that?
I'm looking at the bar on the screen. It's moving.
All right.
Asshole. But anyway, Minnesota linebacker, what's his first name? Blake Cashman. He's the second Minnesota player to skip a bowl game. He had 100. He led the Gophers with 104 tackles, tied for the team lead in tackles for loss of 15, and a second on the team with 2.5 sacks. And that's 5 pass breakups. That's 3rd on the team. And he's just one of a bunch of guys who are skipping their bowl game. And with all this talk about the college football playoff, how the Power 5 conferences, pretty much the conferences that aren't the Pac-12, the ACC, the Big 12, the SEC. Yeah, the pretty much like the American Athletic Conference, Sun Belt, Mountain West, and I'm forgetting. I was going to say the Big East, but they don't exist anymore. There's a 4th conference. I can't remember. Maybe the Independents. I don't know. Yeah, the Independents, because they're technically a conference somehow. But, like, those 4 schools would have a playoff to play each other, and then that team would make it to the playoff. But essentially, they're talking about having an 18 playoff, and I'm like, but it would be like a home game for the team. And here's my issue. one, a lot of those kids are going to be missing their finals because of that. And two, you're not paying them. So you know what? It's going to keep happening. Like, eventually, the best players aren't going to play. People aren't going to want to watch these games because they're going to be like, well, so-and-so wasn't playing. So we're going to give them a better ranking. And the fact that the SEC had a bunch of teams with four losses highly ranked is bullshit. Mississippi State should be nowhere near the top 25. Texas A&M, I'll give them that. They should be ranked because, hell, I mean, you go to a six overtime game and score 77 points against LSU. I'm going to say you should be ranked. And they're going, I think, UCF, which is undefeated, without their starting quarterback, they're playing LSU without Greedy Williams, but that's still a tough LSU team. It's still going to be an entertaining game, but when it comes down to it, a lot of these athletes are just like, why should I risk my health? And I agree with them. Until they're going to get paid, it's okay if you don't play. The coach needs you to play because the coach needs to win to keep his job. But if he did good enough recruiting, he'd have somebody ready to play behind you. So it is what it is.
All right, man. Are you ready to get to the rants?
Let me see. I think I covered everything I wanted to talk about.
Because I got some shit to say. Okay. Some shit dropped while we've been on the air.
Okay, I'm going to just speed through these three things. DJ Durkin is back as a coach. You want to guess where?
Alabama? Yeah. Only because I saw your rundown.
Of course you did. He's a consultant at Alabama. How you feel about that?
I think you've made it pretty clear. Fuck DJ Durkin. I'm pretty sure you said that on the air.
And everyone who loves him?
Yeah.
And his mother? Cool. Butch Jones might be going to Maryland. Alabama is just like a broken coach's, like,
yeah.
It's like a dead coach's kennel.
No, what did...
It's Dead Poet Society for
no,
coaches.
No. What did John Gruden call his office in
fired,
Tampa, ESPN?
Yeah. Fired Football Coaches of America.
Yeah, that's now in Alabama. They've now relocated.
To Tuscaloosa, yeah. Louisville's head coach, he was the head coach at Appalachian State, which they've been really great since they came to D1 from D2 and was winning all those national titles.
Holy fuck. Hurry up. I got some shit to get to.
Appalachian State.
There's some shit going down on Twitter right now.
And won the South, the Sun Belt. And their head coach, as soon as he got to Louisville, he decided to pull scholarships from some of the athletes that they were offering. And I think that's a dick move, but, you know, that he wants to put a stamp on the program. And it's ironic because USC took Boise State's defensive line coach. He's their defensive line coach. Cliff Kingsbury hired Bowling Green's former head coach, who was his running back coach at the time at Texas Tech when DeAndre Washington was there. So that would be an interesting wrinkle to USC's offense. They should have like two more. They might the Rams safety coach might become USC's defensive back coach possibly. Also, Butch Jones, Louisville. Yeah, that's about it. Pretty much a couple coaches got fired, hired and shit. Odell quad injury. Yeah, Malik Jackson, and Ed Hockley for a referee. He said on numerous occasions he thought players died on the field. So if you look at our rundown, you'll see that the link is there. So I'm going to just let Pete take it away.
All right. First of all, there's a lot of shit I got to get to in the rap Twitter sphere. Up first, Vic Mensa. Fuck Vic Mensa, first of all. He dropped an album today. And actually, I like Vic Mensa's music. I actually advocated for his last album, put it in my top albums of 2017. But you know what? Fuck this new album. I ain't listening to it. Obviously, I like XXXTentacion. And I took his side when Vic tried to sneak diss him after he was already dead and receiving an award at the BET Awards. But besides all that, this motherfucker gonna make an album art with him shirtless, showing off his tattoos, with his eyes all twisted and cross-eyed, trying to clout chase X. Are you fucking kidding me? And he titled it Hooligans? Bro, stop. Vic Mensa, you need to make up your mind, bro. You came up being wild and free, and then you were, like, woke and, like, Hotep, and now I don't know what the fuck you're doing, dog. Get the fuck out of here, Vic Mensa. Nobody cares about your music, bro. Can you even sell out the Nova right now?
Xerxes well, looking ass bitch.
Could you even open up for Lupe Fiasco right now? And speaking of Chicago rap, that's just the tip of the motherfucking iceberg. Because guess what? Somebody took the meds out of Kanye's medicine cabinet because dude is going full blast in the Drake Cali Blacklist beef. Yeah, that's right, man. If you haven't checked Ye's Twitter, check it now if you're listening live. If you're listening to the podcast, I don't know. I'm sure dude is probably going to wake up tomorrow and delete the 50 to 100 tweets. He's literally just been going off on Drake. Bruh. He's even gone off on Travis. He's gone off on everyone. Bruh. Basically saying Drake pretty much called him, asking him to clear a song for the 10th anniversary of So Far Gone. First of all, Drake didn't even call him, so Ye was mad about that, saying that they're brothers and how you ain't gonna call me and talk to me about this shit man to man. And then from there, Kanye turned it down, and I guess Drake got mad. Kanye's alleging that Drake threatened him, threatened his family, threatened his, and pretty much saying that Drake knows Ye is bipolar and has mental health issues, and saying those type of things and doing this whole Twitter beef, this whole buying the first rows of Pusha T show and doing the fighting shit and accusing Kanye of selling him out when he didn't. All this shit is really just triggering Kanye's mental illness, fucking with his whole family's life. And him and Travis now got beef when they're supposed to be brothers and in the same family. And he even said he likes Sicko Mode, even though it's a sneak diss on him, which he said is fucked up because, you know, Travis is like his little bro. And so when he put on, he let Drake put that verse in there. And yeah, there's just a bunch of shit. Kanye saying Drake, saying he's the reason Drake exists, saying he paved way for all the weirdos, saying he brought in the double polo. He's just the polo dude with the black with the backpack, and without him, there'd be no Drake. Bruh. All types of shit. Pretty much saying that if he died, all artists would make a memorial disc for him, saying he needs to get the love that they never showed Michael Jackson while he was on this earth. Bruh. And yeah, it just keeps going. Like, I think he's still tweeting. He's saying we should all be working together, we should all be positive, all this other shit, clearly looking like a mad bipolar dude. And honestly, man, I really feel bad for Ye because he got to get his shit together. But this shit is mad funny. And he's right. He's honestly right. He's right. He did pave ways for ASAP and all them to break into fashion. He paved ways for Drake to be emotional and weird. He paved ways for Cudi and Travis, which pretty much birthed this whole new generation of SoundCloud rap. So, yeah, Ye did a lot of shit. But, yeah, we already know that. And you want to talk about Fuck Clout? Bro, you were on X's last album, which was really some... Let me get to that. So, yeah, man, XXXTentacion dropped an album last week, postmortem. Yeah, and pretty much it was some... It was 10 tracks, some industry...
Posthumously,
some full-on industry bullshit. And if you listen to that album and you're an actual X fan, I think, yeah, you're happy just to hear his voice and get some music, but at the same time, you know, you can feel that it's not the same artist because half the songs went there. It's just some unfinished shit where he was fucking around, but some industry heads and probably realistically the family, since he just had a baby, probably needed some money. So I ain't even mad at them for that. But yeah, some industry bullshit where they just looped together all his songs, got Kanye to get on a song, which was actually pretty tight. But honestly, I don't know if X would have ever worked with Kanye. I don't know if X would have worked with like the Ray Shermer track that he did. I don't even know if he did that little peep track or that little pump track that they came out. But yeah, man, clout chasing is real. Clout chasing is an epidemic. And here, Kanye West is talking about all this clout shit's gotta get has gotten out of hand and fuck clout and all this shit. But bro, you literally took XXXTentacion's Twitter and Instagram avatar, which was a world. Like, he was the first one to do that. And now all the rappers are doing that shit. Like, fuck out of here, Kanye. You are a clout chaser yourself. And this is a product of the environment that you live. And you're talking about you being so influential, which is true. Which is, the truth is, you gave birth to all this clout shit. You rode the backs of fucking Cameron and that whole, you and Hove. It's documented. It's known. You guys took the family shit and you made it mainstream and you made it pop and you made it better. But at the same time, you stepped on a lot of people on the way up. Both of you did. And now that's why y'all both got beef yourself, because you still be stepping on each other's toes. But ultimately, you know, why you think Kanye hasn't dropped the 10th anniversary for College Dropout? Why you think he hasn't dropped the 10th anniversary for all this shit? Because none of the old people he fucks with are going to clear his shit. So now he's being petty as fuck and doing the same shit that Drake. So yeah, Kanye, you are the most influential motherfucker. And that's why you shouldn't be doing this petty ass shit. And you should be sitting a higher standard. But you're not, because you started this whole cloud shit. You're the one who took all these influential samples and made them mainstream. Like, bro, I know you didn't get all those dope ass samples you had that you found out of the middle of nowhere cleared. So shut your ass up. And I know you ain't breaking off Rhyme Fest and Consequence. And shit, are you even cool with John Legend anymore? We don't even know if Big Sean is on your label anymore. You don't even bring up Big Sean anymore. Pusha T don't even want to talk about Big Sean anymore. And he's the best dude on your fucking label. But yeah, I don't need to talk about that. I think I got to all the shits. Go ahead, K.E. Oh, yeah. But I do want to see Drake and Kanye fight in Celebrity Deathmatch. But like real life. Because we know, as even Kanye said, they're both too high profile and too Cali Blacklist to actually throw down.
Bruh. Holy shit, good night, folks.
I think I forgot my mess today. I was on one. Fuck. Dude.
I totally forgot what the fuck I was gonna say. Cause Pete cared. Honestly, I Pete cared more about this rant than I did. I'm gonna just bring up a couple things. I'm not even gonna mute Pete's mic, cause I know he's still gassed. And when I was gassed, he would just let me go. So yeah, a couple things. So this punk ass security guard in Hollywood, almost off Hollywood and Vine. It's like, right down the street from Amoeba Records. It's a Walgreens on the corner. If you've been to Amoeba Records, you know where that Walgreens is. Excuse me. Ooh.
I know where the Walgreens is.
Yeah, like the 210 stops through there. So this security guard a couple weeks ago shot a homeless dude in the back, killed him because I guess he thought he was stealing. It wasn't even that serious. They left a vigil out for him. It was really sad. And I found out a high school friend of mine, that dude who got killed, was best friends with that high school friend's girlfriend. So I just wanted to send condolences out to the family of that man and everyone who's affected by it. They're actually suing the shit out of that guy. I think it's supposed to be like $5 million or $500 million, something like that. But yeah, man. It's just really not, it really makes no sense for even why a security guard out there in Hollywood needs a gun like that at a Walgreens. Like, bro, you sell fucking Hennessy and Arizona tall boy cans. Like, what the fuck is so valuable in that place that I need it? That you needed to kill a homeless person? Like, that's trash. That's some bummy ass shit.
Okay, but To be fair, you've talked about how you don't like to be on the corner of Hollywood and Vine because shit goes down there.
But no, that wasn't Hollywood and Vine.
You've talked about no, but this like that dude several times.
He shot a homeless dude.
No, no, I'm not defending that, but I'm just saying, like, I don't act like having a gun there is being, like, so crazy.
If I got the blicky on me and I didn't pull it out, that's one thing. But I'm not a fucking security guard at a Walgreens in Hollywood.
Yeah, I'm not that surprised he had a gun. I mean, that doesn't mean he should have used it, and he should have used it on a homeless person. He's a
security guard, bro.
But yeah, no.
It's not like he robbed the place at gunpoint. It wasn't even that serious.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's my issue.
For sure.
I just thought that was some hoe-ass shit. Another thing I wanted to touch on. Man, I don't know if it's, like, maturity or if I'm just really calm, like calmer than normal. Maybe it's because like, I took a couple days off work. Oh, that's what I was going to say. I just remembered it. All right. A lot of things have been kind of put in perspective for me. I've really had a chance to think about a lot that's happened. This is like the end of the year, and I'm not going to be here in studio next week, but I will be calling in from Oakland. Man, it's... Like, don't beat yourself up for not hitting certain timetables. And maybe it's because, like, it's really sinking in that my sister, like, is 21. And she's starting, like, the light kind of came on for her. And I'm going to be 27 next year. And I've just been really thinking about a lot of things. And about, well, if I didn't make this choice and I didn't do this and if I did this, I'd be better off, but then I'd still be struggling just because, let's just be honest. That's how life works. If it doesn't hit you now, it hits you later. That's just how shit goes. Yeah, my last thing. Yeah, to sum up that shit that y'all may, it may be sounded confusing to y'all. Yeah, man, just stop living on a timetable. Live on something tangible. Like, okay, you want to build wealth for yourself in your lifetime. Okay, work towards that. And you work towards that every day. You want to build a business with friends. You want to build a network with friends. Like I said, I think it was last week. The industry was here before you were born, and it'll be here after you're born. Your network is what matters. Your network is your net worth. So who you choose to network with, who you choose to spend your time with, who you choose to invest in, that's everything. Yeah.
Facts.
And lastly, to the punk ass piece of shit who decided to threaten and pretty much hijack CSUN over the past couple weeks, may you burn in hell. If anybody didn't know, pretty much there are swastikas and letters found in, and if you went to CSUN, you know where this building is, Sierra Hall, where like a lot of the ethnic studies classes are. That whole building, like, there's stuff on the first floor and everything. Latin American studies, African American studies, all that stuff. And somebody pretty much threatened to murder everyone, and they were going to do it December 12th, which was yesterday. It was Wednesday. They were going to pretty much do it that day, threaten to kill a bunch of people. So all the professors had to pretty much turn the finals that they were going to originally do, had to turn them into alternative versions and pretty much make it where people could do their finals online. Some people still showed up for class, I'm assuming. But the campus was practically empty. And Harrison, President Harrison, she had to come out and make a bunch of speeches. And her hand was forced. And I honestly see both sides. Like, also, the person threatened to shoot up Northridge High School, too. Just to keep in mind, Granada Hills High School, like, one of the richest and actually probably one of the smartest statistically. I guess they're the best high school academically in the country, definitely in the state of California. John Elway went there. Like, their robotics program is like top notch. They, I don't know if they were threatened, but I know like they're literally like two blocks down the street from Northridge High and Northridge. So that's a lot to think about. Like, that's a lot of people that could have been hurt. And there's nothing stopping from someone from making those death threats, let's say at a graduation. Or let's say there was also threats made to the the Pride Center on campus, but those are trying to be unsubstantiated. But it really sucks we live in a fucking environment where people are just trying to live their lives, just go to school, and some asshole decides to do that. To where, like, people didn't show up to work on campus because they were afraid, and rightfully so. I know I didn't show up, but I had migraines and I was sick, and I used my sick hours. So there. But in other cases, people were like, one girl literally wrote, the shooting threat against CSUN is why I would never come back to this country. Which I would never raise kids in America. And it's really sad because we really have the worst gun problem. I mean, other countries have a lot of horrible shit that's going on over there that they don't want to talk about, but it's really just sad and disturbing that it's like this, and it shouldn't be. So I'm just hoping that everybody stays safe. Stay safe over those holidays, man. Make sure you get to 2019. Look, you know, at your surroundings and everything. And, yeah, probably go to a shooting range. Learn how to shoot a gun. It may come in handy. You never know. And also understand, you know, bulletproof vests and all that stuff. But I'm going to just kick it back to Pete because I don't want to end this on a somber-ass note.
I don't have much else to say. I mean, I already got everything off my chest, man. Stop chasing clout and stop saying that you're not. Stop saying that clout is stupid when you're literally chasing clout. Anyways, man, you know what it is. Touchdowns and Tangents. You can find us on the Good News Radio Station, always first and foremost, as well as our replay affiliates, FBC Radio and XSquadRadio.com. XSquad affiliates, shout out to them. Shout out to your favorite podcast app. You can find it on Google Play, Spotify, Apple Podcast Store, Radio Public, Burberry, I think it's called, and a bunch, Stitcher, a bunch of different apps. Make sure you check it out. If you like the podcast, like it, share it, all that good stuff. And yeah, man, we thank you for your support. We thank you for your love. We thank you for listening. We thank you for your likes, your shares, all that good stuff.
Yep, because we've become that podcast that honestly we've forgotten more about sports than a lot of so-called pundits ever have actually known. And we're also that place where the status quo and the inconvenient truth can kind of exist in the same place. So, yeah.
Reveal the marginalized truth.
That was kind of trash. You could have just cut that part out. But, yeah, realistically, sometimes when we talk about sports, there's a bunch of other things that go into it. Obviously, like hip-hop, all this other shit. And you may find something in this that you like that helps get you through your day. And if we offer that for you and we don't know, we're happy with that. Thank you. So, you know, have a good one. Oh, quick question. Is it still fuck Ski Master Slump God? No. Is it still fuck Rob Stone? Or is that beef dead?
That beef's been dead, but yeah, sure.
Because he said, like, Kanye was literally saying, oh, yeah, because of what you was doing, you got a kid in critical condition in the hospital. Pusha T security really fucked that kid up, though.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.